Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I'm Tim, and as always, I'm joined by the very lovely blue hair beauty, Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm great, Tim. How are you today?
I am outstanding.
Spectacular.
And we're also joined, of course, by the very honorable and highly regarded, and now award-winning, Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III. Affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm just happy as I could be, Timmy. I got today's St. Patty's Day.
Yes.
I got my green shirt on for my mama.
It's very nice. And as I mentioned, the Colonel has been nominated for the 2015 Podcaster of the Year in the Cincinnati, Ohio District 1 area. And that's quite an honor, Colonel. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm you know, I'm just happy to be nominated, Tim.
It's an honor. It's a true honor, and it's well deserved. So let's go to our topic truly. Today is
truly.
Our topic today is,
and we should say, just to interrupt you, and you've been very graceful about this, Timmy. You being a producer, but.
He's graceful.
I am graceful. I dance.
But the blue-haired devil, she's been a little bit bitter about me.
Well,
nominated for this award.
I think you both should have been recognized.
Oh, I don't.
Well, I'm just saying that because she's here.
Oh, okay.
Because Brandy does outstanding work.
No, she don't.
Anyway.
Are we doing shout-outs?
Yeah, we will. But first, let me introduce the topic. Today's topic is, this is a little unusual podcast for us. This is Hollywood history. This is our first one in that we'll do for Hollywood. So the topic today is Hedy Lamarr, and she had a very interesting life. Besides being a actress, she was an inventor and had a really interesting life, and we'll get into that. But first, we're going to do shout-outs, and I know, Brandy, you have a shout-out that you want to give.
I do. First of all, I want to remind everybody that my girlfriend is still taking donations on GoFundMe. For bags for chemo patients. So it's Jennifer Lovejoy Smith, and it's on GoFundMe. Just give a little donation, makes a big, huge difference, and they really, really are a great way to show your support.
Yeah, it's a very good cause.
It is a very good cause. I also want to give a shout-out to Sharon in Lexington, who listens to all our podcasts, and we really, really appreciate that. So I want to give a shout-out to her. And still, I want to give a shout-out to all the drivers yesterday that were in front of me that their left from the right.
Here we go.
And turn on their left turn signal to go right. My three-year-old knows his left from his right. It's a little aggravating that older people do not. If you do not know your left from your right, please do not get behind the wheel of a motor vehicle.
So you're using our podcast now to vent.
Just that little bit.
If we're going to do that, how about I just say,
hey, yapper.
At least they got it. At least they used a turn signal, and if they got it wrong, it was a man. Because women don't even know what that stick coming off the steering wheel is.
Yes, because they got it wrong. They are a man, probably.
They
and
got it, yeah.
And that's okay.
Because women are like,
but your mouth is still running.
Let me go 30
mile
an hour and then pull left into this driveway.
Shut your dirty word hole.
Okay. Okay, Brandy. Do you have any more shout-outs?
Okay, Brandy.
No, do you have any more shout-outs?
No, I do not.
She started.
Okay, now it's your turn, Colonel. Who do you have a shout-out?
I got a shout out to Daniel. Daniel left a nice comment. We really appreciate the comments, the positive comments. Now, if you have a negative comment, you could leave it. But if you leave a negative comment, you're going to be in the same category as Johnny Footstool.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to tell you, Johnny Footstool, it's St. Patty's Day, so I'm giving you a reprieve. But you ever leave a negative comment like that and call my friends a moron?
I think he was referring to you. I think he was referring directly to you.
Oh, well, could have been talking about you.
Well, I could take that, but I thought he was talking about you and the Blue Head Devil.
No, I think he was
still. Johnny, I'm going to let you go. You can quit hiding. I heard you ran.
So you're giving him a reprieve.
I'm giving you a reprieve for now. You ever put something on there again, I'll kick you right in the ass, Johnny.
But we do want to thank Daniel. He did leave a very nice comment, and we appreciate all the comments. You know, we put a lot of time in this, a lot of fun for us, but no money is involved. So anytime we get comments, that's kind of like our reward. So
you're not getting paid for it?
Well, I guess I'm getting cut out. Okay, Hedy Lamarr. Kind of like Peter Hedy Graves on Biography. Now let's talk about Hedy Lamarr.
Okay, let's talk about Hedy. Hedy Lamarr was born Hedwig Eva Maria Keisler.
Well, that's a problem right there. Hedwig.
I know, yeah. But they were Austrian.
But, you know, now think about it.
Okay.
Hedwig, would you rather be Asswig?
No, but Hedwig would be out on Harry Potter, too. So
That's where the wig would go on
Hedy. It would. She was the only child. She was an only child, and she was born in 1914. Wait a minute, where'd it go?
November of 1914.
I know. In November. I had it. It was right here in front November of me. So anyway.
November the 9th, 1914, in Austria.
Austria-Hungary, yes. In Vienna, no less.
Yes, so, and that was during the First World War.
Okay. Her father was a successful bank director, and he died before the Holocaust. Hedy actually later on, through her influence as an actress, was able to rescue her mother.
Was she Jewish?
They were half Jewish, I think.
Okay.
Her mother was a pianist and was from Budapest, and she had come from the Jewish bourgeoisie.
Bourgeois.
She was a pianist.
Bourgeoisie.
She was a
pianist.
She was a small pianist.
Yeah, she might have been. I don't know how tall she was. Yeah. So, there's been some assertions that her mother had converted from Judaism to Catholicism and was actually a practicing Christian, but nobody was ever able to get proof of that.
She may have done it just to escape. Yeah, because it was during the Nazi occupation.
Right. In the late 1920s, Hedy was discovered and brought to Berlin by producer Max Reinhardt.
All producers are German producers are named Max. You ever notice that?
It's just shady. It's a conspiracy. She trained in the theater, and then she returned to Vienna, and she began to work in the film industry. First, she worked as a script girl, and then
script girl,
and soon she moved on as an actress. In 1933, she married a guy named Max Mandel.
Another Max?
Another Max.
Germany is full of Maxes.
You can't swing a dead Max without hitting a Max over there.
Mm-hmm. They really maxed out on him.
Wow.
They maxed out on the Maxes.
He was a very, very wealthy Austrian military arms merchant. And Hedy would often accompany him to his business meetings, where he talked to scientists and other professionals about military technology. And this is how she became introduced into the worlds of applied science and really laid the groundwork for her latent talent in the scientific field.
She had no formal training in this stuff.
Yeah. As World War II kind of loomed ahead, her acting career took her to Hollywood, and she became a naturalized U.S. citizen. At the beginning of the war, she was told she could use her celebrity status to sell war bonds, and she did that. She had a lot of success with it, but she wanted to do more, and she wanted to use more using her interest in science to defeat the Nazis. And as Hitler kind of marched through Europe, this desire in her only intensified. She really wanted to whoop his ass. So
she wanted a piece of Hitler's ass.
Well, yeah. In her first marriage, she was, as you mentioned, she was married to the arms dealer. And they would actually have Mussolini and Hitler would actually be at their dinner parties and stuff. So
yeah,
she had seen that up close.
Yeah.
And Mussolini had terrible, terrible table manners. I mean, he was a glutton.
Is that what happened when he came to your house?
Well, no, that's why she turned on him.
He wouldn't use the right utensils.
He put his elbow up on the table.
So the Germans started German submarines started torpedoing passenger liners.
Well, that don't seem kosher.
And that actually lit a fire under her, and she was determined she was going to invent something that put a stop to that. In 1933, at age of 18, she starred in the film Ecstasy. It was filmed in Prague. And her role was that of a neglected young wife married to an indifferent older man.
Yeah, that's a bad role.
This film was a big deal, actually, for a lot of reasons. But one of them was that it became notorious for showing her face, Lamar's face, in the throes of orgasm, as well as close-up and brief nude scenes.
You think she were faking it?
Yeah, they were sticking a pin.
I don't think Timmy faking it over there.
Well, I don't know what Timmy's doing over there.
This is what I don't get about this part. Okay?
God.
Now, someone want me to fake orgasm, okay? What you do is, like, come up and massage my calves or something, or my shoulders, and I'd be all like, oh, yeah, that it, baby, that it. Oh, yeah, right there.
I'm
that's
so
the spot.
That's
the
right
spot
now.
Right there, baby. But you start sticking me in the butt with a safety pin,
well,
and I'm going to be like, ah, what the hell?
I hadn't gotten
that. Yeah, she hadn't set that up yet.
Oh, okay.
But thank you. Yeah, that's freaking awesome.
He stole your thunder.
That is actually the first recorded, supposed to be the first recorded nude scene, was of Hedy Lamarr in this movie.
What did you see of her in that?
It was a close-up and a brief nude scene. It was just a brief nude scene.
I mean, if it was a breast, was her
butt? It was boobies.
It doesn't say.
It showed Hedy's boobies. I went back and looked up on the YouTube.
It definitely showed her boobies.
Oh, it did.
And, you know, she didn't have real big boobies.
Swimming and running through the woods. Well, it's because they didn't really have fake boobies back then.
Yeah,
so,
glad they
you know, she
those.
Was, you know, she was a little thin girl. And actually, Hedy Lamarr, to me and, you know, the colonel over here, Hedy Lamarr looks a lot like Scarlett O'Hara from Gone with the Wind.
Vivian Leigh.
If you can't picture her. Yes, Vivian Leigh. She looks a lot like her when they're younger.
As God is my witness,
yeah,
I shall
she'll never
go
hungry again.
Hungry
so,
again.
Her first husband there... he objected.
Frederick.
Yeah. He objected to what he felt like was exploitation of his wife. And, you know, the expressions on her face during the simulated orgasm. And he went around buying up all the copies of Ecstasy that he could find to try and restrict public viewing. But in her biography later in life, she wrote an autobiography, and it insists that all the sexual activity in the film was simulated, and that the orgasm, her O face, was achieved using method acting reality.
So she was like Marlon Brando.
I guess.
Yeah.
The authenticity of whatever passion she was showing was attained because the film's director was strategically poking her bottom with a safety pin.
Now, see, that's there what I go. Don't get. How are you going to get somebody to pretend to have an orgasm? Why don't you shoot them with a BB gun?
Well, I mean, guess if what's the matter what you're into, I guess.
That's what I mean. I want to get... Well, I let it go now, but I'm just saying. Somebody grab your shoulder and then massage and you're like, oh, that it, baby.
Each their own. Maybe she got into being poked.
Well, apparently she did. And apparently she was... You know what her husband was mad about? Her husband bought up all the copies so he could tell the fake orgasm from the real orgasm.
Okay. So her husband... Mendel, whatever. He was reputed to be the third richest man in Austria. And in her autobiography, she describes him as being extremely controlling. He really held her back in her acting career and kept her a prisoner in their home, which, by the way, was a castle.
She was like Rapunzel.
And she was like Rapunzel.
Without the hair.
And he was actually half Jewish himself, but he had so close social and business ties to Italy and Nazi Germany. He actually sold munitions to Mussolini. And it was Mussolini and Hitler that would attend lavish parties.
And they had terrible table manners.
And there's table manners.
And just to clarify one thing, clear up one thing, there ain't no such thing as half Jewish. You're either a full Jew or you're not a Jew. If your mama is Jewish, you're Jewish. If your daddy Jewish and your mama not Jewish, you're not Jewish. There's no half Jewish people.
Thank you for the history lesson.
Okay, just
trying to make sure Rabbi Hawk.
Our people know.
Her marriage to Mondale, eventually became unbearable, and she decided to separate herself from both him and her country. She disguised herself as her maid and fled to Paris.
She drugged a maid.
Well, stop talking.
Did you read that where she had tried to hide, or are you getting to this, where she hid in a brothel?
Oh, that's a good one.
I read that.
Yeah, she had to try to escape her husband. Apparently, in her autobiography, she said that she had to slip into a brothel to hide. And when she was high, when her husband was searching for her, and then a customer came in, and so to go along with it, she had sex with the customer just so that she wouldn't be exposed.
Whatever it takes. Yeah.
But then she sued later on, saying that was a bunch of filthy lies.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Lies, all lies.
Yeah, she sued everyone. She sued. She sued at the drop of a hat.
She would like the Scientologist.
She would be suing us if she was alive.
Yeah, she was a Scientologist. She had more lawyers than a Scientologist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, in her autobiography, she said she disguised herself as her maid and fled to Paris. But rumors claim that Lamar actually persuaded her husband to let her wear all of her jewelry for a dinner. And then she just disappeared.
Oh, so she could leave with the jewelry.
So she could leave with some money. So she fled to Paris in 1937, where she met Louis B. Mayer, who was scouting for talent. He hired her, but told her she had to change her name.
I guess.
Because, well...
Not to me. Edwigs.
Well, because she was starting to be known as the Ecstasy Lady, and
can we use,
they didn't want that.
Can we put scouting for talent in air quotes?
Okay.
Scouting for talent.
So, he didn't want her to...
Scouting for talent on the weekends.
You know what he was doing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Continue.
He didn't want her to be known as the Ecstasy Lady, so... she actually chose her surname in homage to the beautiful silent film star Barbara Lamar, who had died of tuberculosis in 1926.
Now, see, and she's suing everyone for using her own name, and she's stealing her name from someone else.
Yeah, she sued Photoshop.
When they arrived in
Corel Draw.
When they arrived in Hollywood in 1938, Mayer actually promoted her as the most beautiful woman in the world.
Well, I must say she was gorgeous.
She was a vision of loveliness. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you that.
Okay, so she began doing movies. She was getting really, really good reviews. From 1940 to 1949, actually, she made 18 films.
But didn't appear naked in nary one of them.
So that's a lot of movies. That's two a year at least.
She had 18 films.
That's as many as marriages as she had.
After leaving MGM in 1945. She enjoyed her biggest success as Delilah in Samson and Delilah, the highest grossing film of 1949. After she tried to do some comedy next to Bob Hope in My Favorite Spy in 1951.
And that was a good movie, actually.
Her career went into a decline.
Was that one of his road movies?
Yeah.
She actually, after that, only sporadically made films. One of her last roles was Joan of Arc, and it was just critically panned. It was just...
They burned her at the stake.
Yeah, they did. Just,
they cooked her on that one. They gave her two fire sticks down.
So, she actually, her film role started to dry up, and so the lack of acting challenges really bored her. And so she decided to turn to inventing, and she started throwing all her energy into... That
yeah, she was a very smart lady, and she was always thinking, and she actually did quite well with some of her inventions, even though she didn't get credit for them at the time. Charles, you want to tell us a little bit about some of her?
Well, her biggest invention, and this was kind of a, when I first read this, it seemed kind of sexual to me. I don't know.
Really?
The, frequency hopping spread spectrum. She invented frequency hopping spread spectrum.
That's hot.
Now, any one of those, frequency hopping, that's kind of like, you know, a spread spectrum. It's all, it seemed dirty to me.
Oh, double entendres.
Anytime the word spread is used.
Or spectrum,
sex,
or hopping.
All
or
double
frequency,
entendres.
Or the.
Yeah, frequency, or, hopping, spread, sex. I mean, it got the whole nine yards. But she was married. She was, well, no, she was not married. She was working with George and Theo. Who was a, Timmy, how would you describe him?
I would describe him as probably the brains behind the operation.
He was avant-garde.
Oh, he is? He was avant-garde.
Yeah. So, they come up with this thing. Now, when you shoot a torpedo from a submarine, yeah, or a ship, well, or whatever.
I do it twice a week.
It got about.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It got hit by a...
Yeah, okay, so...
That a euphemism for something. It didn't mean me.
So when you... when you shoot a torpedo...
Excuse me, listeners, but Timmy got me rattled over here. Okay, okay, so you shoot off a torpedo.
Yeah.
You shoot off a torpedo, okay? Now, it's guided by, like, you know how you go to Radio Shack and you get the little plane with the little joystick and stuff? It guided by
quit
radio frequency.
Yeah,
I guess they can't see me. So, but those little, because the Japanese and the Germans, they were sneaky people. They were sneaky, sneaky people. And they, what they would do is
sticking
jam
Nazis.
The, oh, bastards. They would jam the signals of the torpedoes. And then the damn torpedo hit a scored dolphin or something. You know, you're trying to sink a Japanese submarine, but then all of a sudden you got flip up.
Damn them.
Yeah, yeah. Dead dolphins because of... That's how... Well, they wanted tuna-safe torpedoes is what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets this idea that, you know what? What if in the middle of the torpedo shooting, okay, and we change frequencies, change for radio frequencies? And she does this using a player piano roll.
Mm-hmm. Like the old player pianos. They had a,
that would be the player piano roll.
And
yeah.
They had a...
yes.
They were programmed, kind of programmed.
Yeah, they were programmed.
And songs.
And it had 88 frequencies that it could jump back and forth. And this was based on the fact that there are 88 keys on a piano. Now, the military just was like, oh, she kind of hot, but... She dumb it on a brick. I ain't using this stuff. But then all of a sudden they use it 17 years after the patent expires. So they didn't use this.
She didn't make a dime off of it.
Did not make a penny. Now, she got a patent on it. And really, we would not have the internet today if it weren't for this.
Yeah, because it's Wi-Fi is based on it.
Wi-Fi is based on it.
Cell phones are based on it.
Bluetooth's based on it.
Mm-hmm.
So really, the if you're playing Candy Crush right now, you can thank Hedy Lamarr.
She's
the mother of Candy Crush and sexting and sending dirty tweets.
But she was, she was a very smart lady, and in addition to being, a famous actress, she was very bright, and she had other inventions as well. But that was her biggest contribution was the method you just said, talked about for radio waves, of controlling radio waves. And she never made a dime off of it. It wasn't used until the patent expired, as Charles said, and so she never made any money off of it. But her contribution to science, and it was recognized much later on. But in her,
they used it in 1962 when it was during the blockade of Cuba.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the U.S. ships used it then, but then they didn't have to give any money. Now, later on, about 1998 or so, a wireless technology developer, Wi-LAN Inc., they bought 49% of the patent from Lamarr. Doesn't say how much, but for Wi-Fi. So it's it was way ahead of his time. It was way ahead of his time. Now my guess is this guy probably invented it because it involved a lot of math, and she's very pretty, and we all, I don't like to make generalizations, but women generally ain't that good at math.
You really do make a lot of generalizations.
Well, no, she was very bright, but I do think that he contributed a lot to it.
Yeah, if she would have been like a Asian woman, they're good at math.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh.
So, besides being very beautiful, she was very smart. But I don't know about you guys, but it was hard to me to... She died with a lot of money, but there are times where she seems like she was dead broke.
I think she just got a little crazy toward the end.
She seemed like she had a sad life. She was married 6 times. From 1933 to 1965, she was married 6 different times.
I'd say she was probably a little difficult.
Probably difficult.
And you take somebody, and I'm just going to throw it out there. You take somebody like Renee, okay?
Your wife.
My Renee. Wife. Lovely, very lovely lady. Or even take the blue-haired devil over here.
Brandy.
They both been married 1 time.
Mm-hmm.
1 time. And they are difficult as hell. They're as difficult as you could possibly be. And then all of a sudden you got this woman 6 times more difficult than the blue-haired devil. Could you imagine?
Well, Renee and Brandy have outstanding husbands. I think the part
true.
Maybe Hedy just didn't find the right guy, but she said that no one could live up to her father, so she was always putting...
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, she was always comparing, and she loved her father. He spent a lot of time with her. She was always comparing her husbands to her father, but she said all of her 6 husbands, each of her 6 husbands married her for different reasons.
So she had daddy issues. She was pretty much a girlfriend. I was going to say, she was pretty much someone that would be dating you, probably.
Well, maybe. It depends on how old she was at the time. But
if she was under 26.
She had 2 biological children and 1 adopted son. As Brandy mentioned, she became a naturalized citizen in 1953 at the age of 38. Then her life, she's not getting the roles that she wants. She was being offered roles, and she was turning a lot down. In 1966, she was arrested for shoplifting in Los Angeles. Those charges were eventually dropped, and at the same year, her autobiography, Ecstasy and Me, again referring to that first movie that she made, came out, and... She used a ghostwriter, and she did not like the final product, and she sued the publisher and saying that some of the anecdotes in the book was fabricated.
Now here, this is a part that confused me on here, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
The title.
why are you so bitter today, devil?
Well,
no, how you get things wrong in an autobiography? Doesn't autobiography mean you're writing things yourself?
No, she had a ghostwriter, Leo Guild. And
but she was old, and she probably forgot she told him all these things.
Well, yeah, by that point, she was, what, 54? So she went
that's pretty damn old. She might have been getting to
excuse me?
She's getting to senility by then.
Wasn't right.
Anyway, she sued, and it was settled out of court. And then she got sued by a guy who said that her autobiography contained material from an article about her life in which he wrote in a magazine called Screen Facts. So she sued, and she got sued. So she sued a lot of people. I mean, she was suing everyone left and right.
She sued Mel Brooks for Blazing Saddles.
She did. In 1974, Mel Brooks in the movie Blazing Saddles uses a character named Hedley Lamarr, and she sued for $10 million, and that case was settled out of court. She became increasingly secluded in the 70s. She kept turning. She was offered television scripts or commercials and stage projects, but she kept turning them down. None of them interested her. Her eyesight started to fail her, so she kind of retreated from public life and settled in Miami, Florida in 1981. She finally got recognition for her scientific contributions in the 1990s. She received the Electronic Frontier Foundation Pioneer Award in the 1990s, and when told that she had received this award, that was for her contribution to sciences and for the invention that dealt with the radio waves. Her response was, "It's about time."
Well, it was.
Well, yeah. So she was sounded a little bitter then.
She would like Pete Rose waiting to get in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think she may be even
she
more
did
bitter.
It first, though.
Yeah.
So, anyway, 1991, she was arrested again in Florida for shoplifting, this time for stealing $21.48 worth of laxatives and eye drops.
I don't understand the correlation.
I don't know, but she pleaded no contest, and in return to promise to refrain from breaking any laws for a year, the charges were once again dropped.
Old people are sneaky because they use that, they play that card, and then they still steal things.
See, well, but shouldn't you promise never to break the law again? Not just for a year.
When you're old, you're doing crazy.
Well,
especially
you can only go a year at a time.
Because you don't know how her bowels are going to be. Because she stole enough laxatives. $21, that's enough laxatives.
Well, I don't know. In 1991, it probably bought you
maybe
a...
The were in there, too.
Yeah.
I mean, probably like, maybe a 60 box of X-Lax or something. I don't know.
Maybe she just thought she would get a box of extra price candy or something. Maybe she thought she was stealing that book.
I don't know. I think she should have bought a Happy Meal.
No, but old people steal things, and then everybody thinks, oh, they're old. They didn't mean to. They didn't do whatever. Oh. And they did. They did mean to. And then get off, and they stand there and look pitiful, and the judge lets them off. And then what do? They go out and steal again.
Well, I'll tell you what works good, too. Little kids. You get a 3-year-old.
I know.
They carrying out like a GPS at the Best Buy. There's people like, well, why? That's what I told the store manager. Why my kid want to steal a GPS? He just grabbed him and was playing with him, walking out in the parking lot.
Wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway,
then I sued him.
Obviously.
So that was in 1991. In 1997. Y'all remember CorelDRAW, the software? You do too. CorelDRAW, apparently, their software had a picture of Lamarr, an image of her on their product. And what did she do, do you think?
She sued them.
She sued them. And saying that they used her image without her permission. And then the parties reached an undisclosed settlement in 1998. So in the last, 10 years of her life, really she stayed away from people. She just talked, but she talked to people on the telephone. She would spend 7 or 8 hours a day on the telephone talking to her family and friends, but she would not meet people in person.
Because she was pretty ugly by this time. Now, she went through a bunch of...
You gonna let him tell it?
Yeah, you're right. No, he's right. She turned to plastic surgery to preserve her looks, and she had some bad results. She had her breast enlarged, her cheeks raised, her lips made bigger, and a lot of different things done, and it did not turn out well. So it distorted her beauty, and she kind of hid away. It's kind of sad. The last 10 or 20 years of her life, she seems kind of, she was like that Nora Desmond we talked about.
How are you gonna go bad with making your boobs bigger though? That's what I don't.
But she had time. But what I can't understand is she can't spend time with her kids or her family because she don't want to spend time with people in person. She talks on the phone. Yeah, she's got time to go out and steal some laxatives.
Well, maybe it was just a hobby.
It could have been a hobby. It's a necessity.
Maybe she was a cat burglar.
But she also was reported to be addicted to pills. You know, she would, like, sue the shit out of us. If she was alive and heard this podcast, we'd be sued. So, she famously said that after you take a taste of stardom, everything else is poverty. So she was really lost when she started losing her looks, even though she would, you know, and throughout her life, you know, want to be known for her mind and her brain. Really, when she lost her looks, she started to really lose it psychologically.
When did she start doing the German porn?
What? I don't know. I think you're embellishing the story.
No, every actress that starts getting like her, that starts, they start sliding and they start to go
well, by this
Germany
time,
and they start doing the,
by this time
doing
she
the
was,
German porn.
She was 70 years old, so I don't think there probably was a big demand for her to do
anything.
Do
you ever get on the internet?
I have been on occasion. Anyway, she was estranged from her adopted son. Remember I said she had three kids. One was adopted. And she was estranged from James. That was her adopted son when he was 12 years old. So he went to live with someone else, and they didn't speak for almost 50 years. And she left him out of her will. But when she passed away, she died. Lamar died in Castleberry, Florida, on January 19th in 2000 at the age of 85. When she died, he sued for control of her $3.3 million estate. So here she is again. She talks throughout in her biography and stuff about losing all of her money, but apparently she had some stock, you know, back. She had some money socked away.
She said at some point she made $30 million making movies.
Yeah, and then
$30
million. Pissed it all away.
Pissed it all away.
Yeah, but she's still, I mean, maybe these are from the lawsuit. I mean, I don't know, or maybe some. Maybe
I think they're from the lawsuit.
Yeah, but she died in 2000, and she died of heart failure, and her son Anthony took her ashes, as she had requested, back to Austria, and spread them in the Vienna woods, and that was her last wishes. But I think that the last part of her life, she was just a sad, bitter old woman. I mean, she had been on top of the world there in the 40s and 50s in the movies, and you know, and she made a lot of contributions with her knowledge of science, but kind of turned bitter throughout all of her marriages, and when her career started to fade. It just seemed like she was a cranky old woman at the end.
She turned into, well, they start out happy anyway. She got replaced by Zsa Zsa Gabor. That was a low point.
Yeah, she didn't seem to like Zsa Zsa Gabor, did she?
No, she was supposed to. Hedy Lamarr was supposed to be in the Green Acres, I believe.
That was not Zsa Zsa. That was Ava Gabor, but nice try.
Ava was in the Green Acres?
Uh-huh. Ava was the nice one. I didn't like Zsa Zsa. I shouldn't say that. Zsa Zsa is still living.
Who's still living?
Zsa Zsa.
Zsa Zsa.
Ava was the hot one.
She slapped a cop.
She slapped a cop.
She
slapped a cop.
And she's married to that guy that said that he slept with Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah, Princess. We need to do a podcast on him. He was a prince. And he claims to be a prince or something.
Something.
But Zsa Zsa Gabor, I guess her. Zsa Zsa was. I think Zsa Zsa and Ava were from
Austria.
Austria-Hungary. So they probably had some competition at about the same age, I would guess. I know she's not doing well. Last I saw, and
not doing well.
But she's 180 years old.
Yeah, she's like a zucchini sitting on my counter. Is what she's doing. Like.
Well, let's not say nothing bad about her, because the prince would be suing us. But anyway,
I got something for you,
no.
Prince.
No.
You know what? I got you and Johnny Footstool can come.
No, let's not do that. Let's not do that.
I ain't worried about no prince.
Let's not do that. The prince may sue us. So anyway. Brandy, what's your final thoughts on Hedy Lamarr?
Hedy was an interesting lady, but yeah, you're right. She got bitter. She got real, real bitter toward the end of her life there, and it's a shame because she was really an interesting lady.
And a smart lady. And she was like in the golden era of Hollywood in the 40s and 50s. I mean, she was on top of the world there for a while. Charles, what's your final thoughts on Miss Lamarr?
Well, I guess my question is, who'd she kill?
She didn't kill anyone.
Well, we ain't never done a thing on somebody who didn't kill nobody.
Well, this is a first.
The day is young.
The day is young. Yeah, this was Brandy's. Was Brandy's suggestion. I think it's a good one. She was a very. I didn't know really much about Hedy Lamarr. I mean, I heard the name, but. After researching it, she was a very interesting person.
I didn't know she invented the internet, but I figured sooner or later she did.
Yeah,
Al Gore invented the internet.
Yeah. But no. She invented Wi-Fi, so without it, we'd be tethered without her.
Yeah, we would be tethered.
Yeah.
Okay, so she didn't kill anybody. She didn't kill.
No.
I keep waiting for the climax here.
We will probably get back to a serial killer sometime soon, but we've got some other good topics coming up. And before we close, we'd like to remind you, you can find all of our podcasts on iTunes and Stitcher. Check us out on our Facebook page or historydweeb.com. That's historydweeb.com. And we'd love to hear from you. If you have any suggestions or thoughts on a podcast, we would love to consider them. Brandy, any final thoughts?
No, thank you very much.
Colonel, no sponsors this week.
So I'd like to thank our sponsor this week. It is Rico's Birth Control and Prophylactics, but they pulled out. Everything was lined up, and at the last second, they pulled out.
Okay, thank you, Colonel. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you all again real soon. Say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, listeners.
Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.